Before we open God's word, let us bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we thank thee for the blessing to gather together again in thy house, round about thy precious and living word. It is our prayer that thou would be present with us through thy Spirit to instruct and guide according to thy blessed will. Open thou thy word to our hearts, that we would faithfully receive it, and that we would find thy blessing. For there is no one else that we can turn to but unto thee for the blessing to our souls. Provide thou according to thy will, and open up each and every one of our hearts and ears, that we might receive the blessed words that thou hast preserved for us today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. With the Lord's help, I desire that we would read together from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. I'd like to conclude with verse number 24. The words that we have read together from the Gospel of John chapter 3 are very familiar to us. We have read them, we know them. And they speak to us because these are the words that the Savior wanted to share with a man that was very similar to you and me. There is no words to summarize or put together this message that would be adequate. But the words of Jesus Christ and his simple message, even as we heard this morning, is sufficient for us and our great need. And rather than rely upon a memorable phrase, let us simply read the words of Jesus Christ as they were shared by him to Nicodemus, and that by receiving these words, we also might share in the life that he offers us through them. John begins by describing Nicodemus, a man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews. There are many things about his life that we would probably feel are very unfamiliar, but for you, my friend, and for each of us, Nicodemus is not too different. For his peer group was one that was, it was not easy to confess faith in Christ. It was not one that was willing to accept or embrace his message. And that is the situation that he found himself in. And he comes to Jesus by night and tells him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles except thou doest, except God be with him." This is what Nicodemus had on his heart. It is a word of expression that explains what Nicodemus saw when he saw Jesus. He saw a teacher, and God was with this teacher. And Jesus' response to him was, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus' response is directly to Nicodemus and what he is talking about. Nicodemus is relaying what he sees when he sees Jesus Christ. He's a rabbi. He's a teacher come from God. And God must be with you. This would be a wonderful thing for the Pharisees to say to each other, for him to say to a priest. They would be very impressed. And perhaps Nicodemus felt this is a very good compliment to pay to Jesus. And as Nicodemus brings his best, Jesus does not simply accept him as he is, nor does he chide him and rebuke him, but he tells him the truth. He tells him, "You don't know what you are seeing. When you look upon Jesus Christ, who do you see? Do you see a teacher, a good man, someone that you can hold at arm's length that says nice things? Or do you see the anointed one of God, the one in whom all of the promises of God are fulfilled and confirmed, the one who hung upon a tree and was pierced and bled for us, that we could be saved? Do we see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do we see the one who rules and reigns in the kingdom of God?" Nicodemus could not yet see this. He did not know what he was looking at. And how frequently we also fail to see. We fail to see, for we are like Nicodemus, so bound up in this earth and the things of this earth. Yet Jesus invites Nicodemus and invites each of us to no longer remain bound and confined by the things of this earth and to understand life and abundance and blessing through the eyes and perception of the things that we can touch and the things that we can hold. Nicodemus was doing his very best with his limited experience. And Jesus says, "You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again." Something must change. Change by the work of God and the work of faith within our hearts, so that we can come to the truth of who Jesus Christ is and the truth of how much we need him, how much each and every breath of our physical and spiritual walk are dependent upon him. To recognize, even as Peter said, when Jesus asked, "Whom do ye say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee." It was not because he was learning in the synagogues or in the places of education, but because God had revealed and drawn him to his Son, that he might reveal Jesus Christ to his soul, and he would embrace it in faith. These are what we need so that we can see aright. And we need not be in despair, for Jesus has come as one who has given sight to blind eyes. And he can open up the scriptures that our hearts would burn within us when we learn who Jesus Christ is and how he has fulfilled all for us. and that we would not hide. We would not hide ourselves from him. But we would say, yes, Jesus, I don't see you like I should see you. I don't have the respect and adoration and worship that I should in my singing or my living or in my thanksgiving. I'm lacking much. And I need your help. Nicodemus hides behind two words that hold so many people back. We know. We know is a word that stands on the border of decision in our will. You can know the truth, and then you can decide to embrace it in faith without questioning and find the fulfillment of God at work in your life. Or you can say, I know, and we know, and reject it, and turn your heart from it, and not let what you know and what you understand and what you've heard take any root in your life. We know comes so short of what Jesus is asking for us to simply hear the words and believe it in faith and embrace it. We know will allow us to get only so far. Pharisees and the scribes, they heard what Jesus said. And even to the very last, before the crucifixion, Pilate wrote on a sign in three different languages, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And these who said, we know, they were willing to say, well, he said he's King of the Jews. But they weren't willing to say, he is our King. They never changed from we know to I believe and I embrace wholeheartedly and I accept without any reservation the plain and simple truth of the message of Jesus Christ. And we can even say, yes, Jesus said that and we won't deny it and it's fine. But we leave him standing at the door knocking. And we hide behind we know. We know is not a very great place to hide. Your knowledge, it will vanish away. It is charity. It is the love of God that will endure. Beloved, we are instructed to take on the whole armor of God. And above all of the pieces of the armor is not we know, or yes, I understand, or yes, that makes sense, but to take on the shield of faith, whereby we may be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. The fiery darts of the wicked are coming for you and for me. They will come again this week, and they may be even coming to put doubts in your mind right now. Do not hide behind we know. But say, I believe, and let the will of God be done. If I do not see, if I cannot see the kingdom of God except I be born again, then teach me. Show me. Lead me. Because if he truly is a teacher come from God, why do I resist? Instead, Nicodemus, he asks, how? I'd like to understand the mechanics of how this is all going to work. I would like to know step 2 and step 3 if I would take step 1 that you've called me to. I would like you to explain it in a way that satisfies and is compatible with my fleshly understanding of what birth is. I want it served on a platter. But this is a man formed out of the dust of the earth, speaking to his God on how he would like everything laid out for him. He will not make progress staying here. And so Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." There would be no entrance for those who rejected the baptism of water and of Spirit that's promised and was fulfilled and that John had brought as forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was teaching of repentance and bringing baptism and promised that Jesus himself would baptize with the Holy Spirit and bring about this regeneration, this renewal and rebirth. But they had not taken that first step. They rejected John's teaching. They heard the sound thereof, of his teaching, but they were not willing to say where it came from or where it was going when they were pressed. Is it from heaven or is it from men? Because their deeds were evil. Because they wanted to hide and preserve their own sense of pride and worthiness. And they were not willing to say, "I'm no longer worthy to be thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And they stayed without. He must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And this is the kingdom that Jesus Christ was preaching. We read time and time again that he went about teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That God is establishing a kingdom that man can enter in through faith and whereby they might find the salvation for their souls and a new citizenship and hope for eternal life. And there is no entrance into that kingdom except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. You see, Nicodemus looked for a way that we could do this physically, and we can do this on our own, and we can make this happen. But a spiritual birth and a regeneration of our nature that is inspired and enacted by God, this is something we cannot force. We are only given to humbly hear and to respond in faith. And God is able to do it. Nicodemus, do you believe? Are you surprised that I said to thee, you must be born again? Nicodemus, when you go out to be with your peers, and they speak about the glories of their religion, and you go home, and it is quiet, and it is empty, and you feel the regrets of what you have done and the shame, and you can find no peace for your soul, are you surprised that Jesus says something different from the religions of this world? We should not be surprised, because Jesus Christ is the only way. His name is the only one whereby we may find salvation. So it must be different. And the religion of this world may not be so predominantly in Judaism. It may be with pleasure. It may be with wealth. It may be with what other people think. Satan has no shortage of idols to put before us. and poor imitations and substitutes. Don't be surprised, after all of the hardship and failings that this flesh is capable of, that we need the Lord, that we need Him with us and in us, that there's no victory or salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Nicodemus said, "How can these things be?" Jesus very plainly tells him, "We've been teaching, we've been preaching. John the Baptist has been speaking. I have been preaching and teaching, and we testify the things that are true, but ye receive not our witness." This is where confusion comes from. A simple lack of a childlike faith in the words of Jesus Christ. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and what needless pain we bear when we don't carry everything to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in prayer and in faith and trusting Him. No man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Is there any doubt that what Jesus says is true? For the man that knows the law, and then again from the law, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And so, touching upon this this account from the Old Testament, where the children of Israel were plagued with snakes when they were wandering in the wilderness. They were bitten, they were killed, and they were suffering greatly. Moses had to lift up a brass serpent in the wilderness by the command of God, that whosoever would look upon him would be healed and not die. And in like manner, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. A sacrifice must be given. Payment and the shedding of blood must be made. And Jesus Christ would accomplish that. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And oh, how we wish we knew how, and the why, and the how it will all work out, and what will happen in my life. Will it be difficult? Will I face challenges? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Yes, Nicodemus, there is a cost to the faith. And you will be shunned by your peers. And you will lose your status. But to believe in Jesus Christ is to be one with Him, the one who was cast outside the gate, took our shame upon Him, and bore it upon the cross in love for you and for me. And so He is no stranger to that. And as we go through it, we will look to Him for our help in our time of need. When we feel that faith is wavering and that our strength is failing, we will look to Him. We will believe. We will continue in the faith that we might inherit eternal life. A message of hope. A message that perhaps Nicodemus never realized, though he knew the Word of God so well. It was finally being revealed to him and shown in plainness of speech. What is the message that God has for Nicodemus and for people just like him? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God has made a way of salvation. He has provided a lamb. He will provide all things that we are needing also through him. For of him and through him and to him are all things, as Apostle Paul writes. And here is the thing that Jesus repeats and wants to convey and wants to have remembered, that it is by faith. And this is a choice that each of us have. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. How is it that man becomes condemned? Is it because God is angry and hates us? No. He has sent his Son to be the light of the world and to provide a way of salvation for us. And that light has come into the world, and he offers to each of us freely to choose day by day to believe in him, to walk in the Spirit, even as we heard this morning, and to be moved to become the children of God through faith. He has sent that light into the world, and yet men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Man, in general, lives in a state of deception from Satan, that the short-term benefits of holding on to the evil, holding on to sin and temporary pleasures, will be worth it. But Jesus has said that Satan has no purpose and has no reason for what he does but to kill and to destroy. And today, you have a choice, and I have a choice, for which master we will serve. The one that will lead us to condemnation through self-preservation, or the one that leads us to victory, to peace, to forgiveness, to unity with God through completely abandoning and laying down our life. He called Nicodemus. He knew exactly where his heart was, just like he knows our hearts. He can provide exactly what we need. And when he tells us the truth, we're wise. When we don't resist, when we don't question, but when we embrace and willingly follow. Nicodemus would be mentioned at other times in the Gospel of John. It's mentioned in chapter 7, towards the end, when his peers again are speaking against Jesus. They are making fun of the officers and the soldiers for believing in his word. And Nicodemus speaks up at the moment that he has an opportunity to work and to say something. He said, "Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth?" And they answered and said to him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." Rather than being reasonable, they turned their backs. And one last time he's mentioned that I'm aware of. After Jesus was crucified, Joseph of Arimathea sought the body of Jesus, and in an effort to help with the preparation for the burial, The one who came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus, came again. The same Nicodemus which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about the 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. There was a risk. But Jesus calls us not to hide in the darkness, not to hide our light, Jesus Christ, who is our light, but to let him be known, to bear witness of the faith and what he has done in our lives and what he has made possible in the freedom and the forgiveness and joy. May the Lord lead us and speak to each of our hearts as we come to him with our poverty of offering, and he shares what it is that he sees, what it is that he desires, that we might be following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.